inspiring message by Paul Van Essen at Greater Life Church. For more information about us, do visit our website www.greaterlife.org.uk.
So today you're going to get a bit of a double whammy, that's the idea. And Caroline is going to come, she's going to spend a little more time than me. And because she's going to go into the practical. Everyone say the practical. Charles Grandison Finney, one of my heroes, said, preaching the gospel or telling the story without practical application is not preaching the gospel at all. And most every man or woman that's been used by God over the years, like the Booths and the Wigglesworths and all those people, have lived exactly that way. Practical application is extremely important. Of course, a little scary, because you've got to step out of your comfort zone. But I'm so sure that you're aware now that what you've got in your life today is because that's what you've settled for thus far. And if you want something different, and I want something different, and if I sound like an agitator this morning, I am, because I want you to want something different, and the only way that you'll get anything different in your life is to begin to choose different things. And that takes a little boldness. Everyone say boldness. So I know that when the lady comes up here and boldly leads us into worship, and Daniel boldly crashes the cymbals, and Lucille boldly tells us about miracles that God has done. And I'm aware that some of us might feel like, oh, that's very bold. Am I quite like that? But actually you are. You are born to be free to be you. And it's only religion and an old kind of thinking and what the world throws at you that keeps people penned in a shadow of their real selves. And that is not what you want, and it's not what I want. So allow me to agitate you for 7 more minutes, and then Carrie will go practical. But I want to talk to you about just this one verse here, that's all, because next Saturday, and we are shifting. Everyone say we're shifting. As a church, we're shifting. We're going in a different direction. We're seeing something that isn't there yet. What are we seeing? We're seeing a community of God's people that are so alive to God and so in love with Jesus and so in love with people that everything else in their life has taken second place, and now they just want to please God with everything in them. That's what I see. And I want to talk to you about how to get that. That'll be handy in 6.5 minutes. That'll be good. Now, there's a few different things that you might have heard. I want to focus on just one. We have thought, we've been told, number one, we've been told, and it's right, it's okay, that the secret, that the key of getting this presence of God, this greater manifestation of God in our life, is faith and confession. Well, we believe that's ours, and we declare that's who we are, and Owen is very strong in this area, and there's truth in it, but that's not all there is to it. That's just one part. A second part, you've been told, and it's true and it's helpful, that it's the unmerited grace of God. That we don't have to do anything, that He loves us exactly as we are, which He does. And so that's partly true, but you can have those things in your life and still not be as full of God, as living for God as you could be. And this is the third secret. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Now Jesus is talking about righteousness, the rightness of heart, rightness of soul, rightness with God. But the principle applies all the way through Scripture. So for example, one of the Psalms that says this, it says, open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. And a lot of us aren't very filled because it's a little scary opening your mouth wide. And that's how we get filled, to be hungry and to open our mouths wide to the good things of God. Blessed are those that hunger. You're going to get whatever you hunger for. You're going to get in your life whatever you hunger for. A lot of people in the West are not very hungry for anything much. mostly, if I can say it without kind of sounding rude, we're a little fat, we're a little lazy, and we're a little comfortable. We don't want to try too hard. We don't want to pay too much of a price. We don't want to turn up at work half an hour early just because it's a great thing to do. We'd rather rejoice that we got out half an hour early, as if that's like a big deal. Some people have had their thinking so twisted by that kind of heart attitude that they really think if they had holidays for 48 weeks of the year, or 47, and worked for just 5 weeks, this would be heaven on earth. This would be great. It really wouldn't. You were built to do something. Maybe you need a change of job. Maybe you need to do something different. Sure. But you weren't built to be on holidays. You were built to live an awesome life. You were built to change other people's lives. And what we've ended up doing is spending most of our time on things of no eternal consequence whatsoever. But what really matters is people think of the times in the last week, month, year. It was my birthday recently, and I got a little video message from my son who's in Australia. You know, and I haven't spoken to him that much lately. He tends to send texts. But just to see that, you realize all the other stuff I might have done in the day, mowed the lawn, you know, done stuff that needs to be done, repairing things, checking out, you know, what's going on YouTube because I like music, you know, and maybe there's a little bit of, well, the basketball, the NBA I like, we're on to the finals, you know. All those things, see, they have their place. But if you're not careful, and I want to suggest that nearly all of us in Western Christianity are not careful enough, we end up with our life so filled with that, that if we were to get an hour a day with God, that would be like, well, where's that going to come from? And yet, the hungry have seen God move in wonderful ways. There's a story. I've got a couple of minutes left, haven't I? There's a story in the book of Acts, and I want you to understand this, how God moves, what causes God to move. See, I'm not really interested in, you know, whether we have 100 people or 1,000 people or whatever, all singing, I want God to move in our midst, and then the people will come. And that's kind of where we're at. Because God wants to show His glory. God wants to show people, actually, if I show up, you'd be very surprised. In the book of Acts, this is what you've got to understand. In the book of Acts, see, God doesn't do things on some preset divine scale regardless of us. God does things in response to our heart hunger. So when the outpouring of the Holy Spirit came, day of Pentecost, 6 weeks after Jesus, 6 weeks and day, 50 days after Jesus' resurrection, Easter Sunday, I can guarantee you one thing. There were 120 very hungry people in that room. That outpouring did not come because God had set a calendar automatically. That outpouring came because people got themselves hungry, and heaven will always respond to the heart cry of people on earth. The best thing the devil can do in your life is get you so distracted with unimportant things, relatively speaking, that you feel like you've got almost no time to be with God, to sit in His presence, to have a day off just to read the Bible, to get a hold of this, to be there on Thursday night with us, or whatever it is, or be there. That's what the devil, oh, your life is just too busy. No, what we've got in our day is what we fitted in our day. And change happens when we decide to get hungry for the things of God. And it's going to be the same with Jesus' second coming. I mentioned it just the other week, I think on Easter Sunday, because we don't hear a lot of preaching about that at the moment, but that'll come back. That'll come back soon, that kind of preaching, because Jesus isn't coming back on some preordained date that God decided. Jesus will come when the hearts of God's people are so hungry for Him to come that heaven can no longer withstand the cry of earth, and then He'll return. We have a lot to do with our future and our destiny. And it'll be exactly the same with stains, God moving here in a magnificent way is not on some preset, well, what if God? No, God has created us with the ability to hunger and thirst, and it's the hungry and thirsty that'll be filled. I'm going to close with this little story. John G. Lake, you most have heard of him. He's one of my favorite men of God from history. And he was grew up in the northern part of America and Canada, just near Michigan there. And in the early 1900s, he got filled with the Holy Spirit, and he went to South Africa, and he had what many would regard as the most astounding, Jesus-like, miraculous ministry of anyone in history. Nothing like the apostle, nothing like we'd seen like that, as far as we know, since the apostles. He saw the whole of South African nation change. He saw dead people rise. He saw astounding miracles. I haven't got the time in this short time to tell you all those stories. He went back to America after his wife died. That was pretty tough. Seven children, out busy, out working. His wife died from the difficult conditions in South Africa. Enough to knock the teeth out of most people. And he went back to America as a result of that, really. But his hunger for God never waned. And he said, what God did there, he can do here. And so he started these healing rooms in Spokane in Washington, it's a city in Washington. And you know, in 5 years, it's medically recorded, you can find it anywhere, 100,000 medically certified healings, moves of God, people's physical body change. That's about between 63 and 64 a day. Every day, with a little team of less people than there are in this room, and some rooms and some prayer. Why? Because they were hungry. Now let me tell you the great secret that you probably don't know. When John G. Lake was a young man, his whole family was struck with disease at a phenomenal level. For 32 years, there was an invalid in his home all the time. For 32 years. By the time he was 24, he had buried his family, 4 brothers and 4 sisters, and there were 4 other invalids on the way to dying. And instead of doing what most people would do and saying, this is my lot in life, he got hungry. And he said, God, you have to change this. And he cried out to God. And you know, he said, it was 3 years after I really cried out to God, when I saw the same thing in my wife and my children, I cried it 3 years later. God came and visited, and what we now celebrate as this phenomenal ministry came out of a place of desperate difficulty and people that chose to hunger and to thirst. I want to give you a challenge today. Carrie's going to train you on practical stuff. It's great stuff. There are so many different ways. I'm just going to go out there, and I really want all of you involved. This is not like, oh, we just select few. Let's all be involved. Let's all love people. If you're not quite sure how to do it, let's just decide, well, it's a good thing to do. If I turn up, maybe God will help me. But, you know, once a month on one Saturday a month, if we can't find a couple of hours on one Saturday a month, then I'm kind of thinking, how much do we really love these people in Staines? God loves those people. You might say, I don't know what to do. I don't know if I'm very good at this. Well, we'll get training. And you know, I think probably if you were hungry, God would meet you. But the biggest key you can have in your life is to hunger and to thirst for God. You might say, my faith isn't that strong. You might say, oh, I don't really get the grace thing. If you will hunger for God, if you will start to cut out the other stuff, when we do this practical stuff, instead of us thinking, oh, well, I'm doing it again, no, let your heart be consumed. I'm telling you, that's what you were born for. If you want God to visit us in a mighty way, visit you in a mighty way, you're going to have to be mighty hungry. And I'm going to pray for you right now, and then Carrie's going to come. Close your eyes. If you're in your heart, you're saying, yes, I want that, then just open your heart or lift your hands to God. There's no pressure from me. I'm a minister. I'm a speaker. I'm bringing a message. I'm not God. You're not responding to me. But if you can hear God's voice in your heart while I'm speaking, then I want you to respond. I want to encourage you to respond. and open your heart the best you know how. And God, I'm going to say, I ask you to fill us with such hunger that in these weeks and months ahead, we don't recognize ourselves. Give us the strength and the ability. Give us the grace, the anointing, Father. Come and visit us. If we're not hungry, we're asking you, make us hungry. Make us thirst for you, Lord God, because what we're longing for on the inside of us is not going to be met any other way. Divinely grace us with hunger and thirst in Jesus' name. If you believe it, say, yes, God. Yes. Go ahead and do it. Thank you, Lord. I'm looking to you. Amen. Fantastic. Just a little bit of inspiration I wanted to give to you. And I want you to welcome my lovely wife, co-worker, co-leader, fabulous chef.
Remember, we talked about prophecy and God's toolkit. How many people were here for that? I think quite a few people, actually. Yeah, a good number of you. But for those of you who weren't here, I'll just recap really, really quickly. As Paul said, we're going out into Staines next Saturday, but that's not the only reason we're doing this. We need to reach people wherever we are in life, yeah? We need to love people, whether in work, in the streets, in the queue in Sainsbury's, we're sitting on the bus, we're on the train, we're on the tube train. Those are the people we're trying to reach, yeah? So this isn't just for Saturday, but it's obviously helpful for Saturday if we can use what I've called God's toolkit. His love language is another word for it. How he talks to us, yeah? But the main reason is we want to reach people. We want to bless people. We want to give everybody a God encounter because we believe that we're called to do that and everybody deserves to have a chance to meet God and to reconcile, to see people saved. And to have people reconciled to God. That's what we've got, a spirit of reconciliation. Everybody has a ministry of reconciliation. Not just me and Paul and the lady or whoever. Every single person here has that. It's not just people that stand up here. It's all of us, yeah? And we're talking about prophecy. But before we do that, I just wanted to remind us what Jesus did. In his life, if you look at his life, he came here because God so loved the world. So that's his heart, is to love people. So whatever we do, whether we prophesy or we pray for people or chat to people or listen to people or just hang out with people, we've got to do it from a place of love, yeah? Because that's what he did. And he was also, number one, the ultimate freedom fighter. It says that in Luke, doesn't it? Luke 4 is one of my favourite things. I always go on about it. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. He's a freedom fighter. He's come because he loves us and he wants us to set us not only free from things, but free to things. Free to be, as Paul said, to be ourselves. So we don't have to live as other people see us. We don't have to live in the way that our parents said. You know, they always said to me, little girls should be seen and not heard. So I thought, if I want to be good, I'll shut up about everything. And of course, you get inside because you don't want to be quiet all the time. And it's completely wrong, really. You should be free to be you. And things like that. But they can put, that's, you know, in prophecy, that's actually all the dirt. One of the things for prophecy is to call out the gold in people. And that could actually be one of those things that I was actually supposed to speak. But, and other people have other things, it's not just me. But that's like the dirt, because people put things on you. You think this about yourself. Somebody might say something to you, even when you're a child, and it kind of covers the promises of God that are in your heart, and those things that you're supposed to do just covered in dirt. It's like if you go to a gold mine, there's a lot of dirt. There's a lot of mud. It's not just like all gold. It would look lovely if it was. They have to sift things out and dig for it, because there's a lot of mess. You with me? And when we prophesy over people, the idea is that we bring out the gold in people. We look for those secrets in people's lives and call them forth and call them to be call them to the future. So it's called forth telling. So you're co-laboring with God to create something that's already in their heart that they might not even realize was there. So a story of that is like Kish and Saul in the Bible. I think most people probably know something about that. Kish was Saul's father, this is the Old Testament, and he lost his asses, his donkeys. Chrissy's laughing, I don't know what to tell us about me. But anyway, he lost them. See, God knows all this. He's engineered this. God sort of thought, right, well, if I can get him to Samuel, you know, you think of God sitting there, well, how am I going to do this? Right, then I'll make him lose his asses. Then he'll have to send Saul. Then he'll bump into Samuel and all these different, you know what I mean? How God's working. Somebody said he's knitting behind the scenes. Do you know what I mean? He's just trying to get you into the right position. And we don't realize it sometimes that he's in charge in that sense. Anyway, so he sends Saul to go look for the asses. And then he meets somebody. They said, oh, you need to go and see Samuel. Now, Samuel already knew that the asses had been found. Yeah, so that's a word of knowledge, which we'll come to in a moment. He knew from God, yeah, that the asses had been found. And he also knew that Saul was going to come. But when Saul came, he said, well, the asses have been found. And Saul stayed with him for a while. And Samuel was able to prophesy into him and say, you're going to be king. You're going to be anointed. I'm going to anoint you, and you will be king of Israel. Saul didn't think that at the time because he was snowed under, if you, that's not the right word, covered with low self-esteem. But that promise was in his heart, but he didn't even see it himself. It took a prophet to call it out. Do you see what I mean? And that's what we can do for people. We might have to do it on that scale. I'm not saying to go anoint everybody in the stain, say you could be king of stains. But there's things, there's promises in your heart that you don't realise. And that's one of the goals of prophecy. Anyway, I've jumped way ahead of my notes. But it's all good, isn't it? And it's revelation, interpretation, and application. And somebody said, well, you know, do we have to interpret? You know, because if you give a word for somebody, do you have to interpret the word? Well, if you know the answer, yeah. But often that gets wrong. It gets confused because you often think about it from your own point of view. So you think, like, if that was said to me, what would it mean? And then you go and put that on somebody else. So it gets a bit messy, but life can be messy. But if you don't go out there, you'll never know. I heard yesterday that when God stops talking, so should you. So if you don't know, don't say anything. Okay? You don't want to start making things up and confusing things, you know. God is just going, oh, no, this is why I didn't give you that gift earlier, Caroline. Because you'd have messed it up. No, so seriously, if you do have a word and you bring something out, don't feel pressure to make something up, okay? Just say, I don't know, how does this feel to you? What does it mean to you? And when we were in the session last time, we were prophesying over objects and things like that, aren't we? Always bring hope, bring life, and don't condemn people. They should feel as if they've been kissed by God, because it's one of his love languages, prophecy, yeah? But one of the questions that came out of last time's session was, how do we know it's from God? If we hear something, how do we know that it's God talking to us, not someone or something else? So does anybody know, can anybody throw any sources out or where you think you might hear things from? Yeah? So that would be Holy Spirit probably talking then, wouldn't it? So yeah, Holy Spirit would be one source that we hear from. Who else could we hear from when we feel things or think things? Yeah, it could be evil spirits or spirits. It could be yourself. There was the three of them, and there's one more I was thinking of. Angels. Because they speak to people. But how do you test that? Well, we kind of know what our own spirit is. It's often habit that we have been brought up doing, or things that we kind of do all the time. It boxes you in a bit, really, habit. Holy Spirit will always be in line with God's word, and it will also always make you feel free and happy. It will never be condemning. Conviction's not the same as condemnation. So it might sort of give you a little nudge, but it won't be heavy. If it's heavy, it's religion or another kind of spirit. If it's what we call an evil spirit, it doesn't have to be an evil spirit like this. It could just be fear. Like last night, I was fearful about something, and I had a cold, and I didn't sleep very well. So all night, I was thinking, God has not given me the spirit of fear. This is not from God. And all night I was repeating scriptures to me. I think Philippians are written for me, I tell you. Be anxious of nothing. Meditate on good things. And all night I'm going, meditate on good things. What's good? And it's a real battle. So it doesn't mean you've got a demon following you like this. I don't want to freak people out. It's just those negative things that come into your head that aren't from God, because he did not give us a spirit of fear. Same with sickness, same with the poverty mindset. Any of those things would be called an evil spirit. So I don't want to get too out there, if you know what I mean. But just be aware of that. It make you feel comfortable. They're not of God. So that's not from God. And angels, well, they always come up with wings, don't they? No, I'm joking. But angels, it could be angelic activity speaking to you. I mean, I know a number of us here have sort of seen things like that, or felt things, or met people that we think could have been angels retrospectively. But it's just important to know what sources they're from and how God actually speaks to us. So I've made a list of how God speaks to us. Because people say, well, how do you know where it's from, and how do you know if he's speaking? Now, God says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I've mentioned this before, but that means that there's actually a bit of practice involved in it, because lambs wouldn't hear the voice necessarily, because they haven't learned to tune in. And I've mentioned before that it's like if you've got a new baby, those of you who've had babies, if you put your baby in another room with a load of other crying babies, you will get to know which your baby is. And you'll hear your baby. You won't hear the others, we might. But you'll be able to pick your own baby out, because you get tuned into what their cry sounds like, or what their sleep pattern is, or anything like that. And it's the same with God. The more you know him, the more you can discern what's from him and what's not. But he doesn't speak to us in English, or Fanti, Val, or anything else, or Romanian. Not necessarily, anyway. He uses other methods, yeah? So there's things like, we'll shout them out if you like. Visions. Who's had a vision here? I have. Yeah, yeah, people have had visions. Dreams, people have dreams, yeah. Quite a lot of people have had dreams. Still small voice, or kind of an inner witness. I think that's pretty common, isn't it? Angels, we've mentioned. I haven't had an angel speaking to me, but they're plenty of them in the Bible. They always start with fear not, funnily enough. Anyway, trances. I haven't had one of those, actually. Has anybody else had a trance? Paul? No, not even with me. No. Maria Woodworth Etta. Caroline. I thought you did stay like that for a few nights, actually. Yeah. Dan knows what I'm talking about. Thanks. Creation. Some people get inspired by just looking at nature, and God will just speak to you through looking at an oak tree or something. You think, wow, isn't God magnificent? You get a revelation on something, yeah? Scripture. I think we've probably had that one. Yet something out of scripture can jump out of you. Tongues. If you pray in tongues or other languages, God can speak to you through that. Music or dance, apparently. Other people. But what I want to focus on is impressions and prophetic, what we call impressions and prophetic body checks. And also words of knowledge. Now, words of knowledge are... You filming me? Oh, dear. Don't put it on YouTube. Anyway. Hi. Hope you've got my good side. Words of knowledge, yeah? Words of knowledge, like Kish had, or not Kish, Samuel had in the Bible about Kish's asses. It's a word of knowledge. I had one a few months ago, just before Christmas, about a girl called Maria. I have mentioned this story before, but I was at another church at a conference, and I was praying in a group, and I said, God, give me a name of somebody you want me to pray for, thinking it would be one of the people I was with. And at the end, I said, is your name Maria? And they go, no. I go, okay, but I'll pray for you anyway. But the next day, I was having breakfast in the hotel I was staying in, and a lady comes up. She goes, you one of those church people? And I said, yeah. She goes, oh, there was a group of people in the other day, and they prayed for my leg, and it got. And I said, did it get better? And they go, yeah, it got better. And I said, so, you know, tell me about yourself. What's the problem? She goes, oh, the other one's hurting now. I said, so you want me to pray for your other leg? And she said, yeah, would you mind? She's not Christian. Never met God before. Prayed for her. She's walking around and goes, it's gone, I'm better, they're both all right now, and she's doing all this kind of stuff. And I said, what's your name? She goes, Maria. So I just knew that she was the right lady, you know, that's a word of knowledge. So it happens in a practical way like that. but sometimes when you're meeting people, and this is, I'm thinking about Saturday now, you might be on the stall and you might speak to somebody, you might get an impression, you might see something, you might see, I saw an eyeball once, a pastor put, it's very strange. It actually, if I drew a picture of it, you'd laugh. It was just, really was a vision of a red bloodshot eye. And you might get something like that over people, which could mean that God's trying to tell you, pray for their eye or their elbow or whatever it is. So be aware of those things. Be sensitive to those kind of things. They're probably not you making it up. It could be God trying to speak to you. So you could see something. You could feel something. You could feel like a, you know, a bad knee. You think, my knee started aching. I know Carmen's had this kind of thing. And Jordan had a wonderful story with that. Do you remember with your knee? And so it was another, what was it, Munshe was here, and he was only, 12 or something, maybe younger, 10, 8, young boy. And he said, my knee's hurting. Jordan, is your knee all right? And Gordon goes, no, my knee's been hurting for ages, da-da-da-da. Cut a long story short, Munshe prays for his knee, that's correct, isn't it? And your knee gets better. So that's an example, hey, praise God, eh? But that's an example of how an impression like that can happen to any one of us when we talk to somebody. So just be aware of those kind of things. Sometimes something's just highlighted to you. You just get a feeling for something. Or you might feel like a feeling of anxiety or depression or confusion because somebody could be carrying that and therefore you need to pray into that. Lots of those different things anyway, are ways that God will communicate with us. But anyway, once you've got that, what do you do with it? If you think somebody's got a bad elbow, for example, most of us feel a bit uncomfortable actually doing something about it, if we're honest. We're thinking, do I say something? Do I not say something? But God's with you, don't forget. You're not doing it in your own steam. You're doing it because he's asked you to do it, and he wants to show his love for those people. And after all, he's a healer. It might not always be healing, by the way. It could be other things you pray for, but if it's a physical thing. So I'd like a volunteer, please. Just come on, Sam. Welcome, Sam. Go. So this is how you do it. Well, one way. You have to do it in your own way because you're not me. And yeah. Hi. Hi. What's your name?
My name's Sam.
My name's Caroline. No, I'm Caroline. How are you today?
I'm all right.
I've got a feeling that it might be something wrong with your knees. Do you have any pain with your knee at all?
Yes. Yeah.
This is a demo. Can you all see? She stopped filming now. No Oscars for this, obviously. No, I think God wants to heal you. Is it in pain for when you move it or
when you walk?
Yeah. Can you bend? Is it when you put weight on it? Yeah. So is it hurting now?
Yeah.
A lot. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how much is it hurting? 7. Wow. That must be quite painful. Do you mind if I pray for you?
No,
I believe God can heal people. Do you believe that?
I'm not sure.
You're not sure?
Yeah.
Well, if you open your heart and you just accept, we'll ask God just to come in, because I believe he's a miracle worker, okay? Do you mind if I put my hands on your knee? No. Snort. He's cured already, just a laughter, I can tell you. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Look, I'm just going to put my hand on your knee. That's all right. Okay, well, speak to that knee. In the name of Jesus, be healed. I ask you ligaments to straighten up, pain to go, muscles to relax. God, you know what the problem is there. I just ask it all to be brought back. So I speak to you, knee. Just say, be healed in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for coming and healing his knee right now. Okay. Sam, how are you feeling? A bit better. So out of a scale of 1 to 10, what are we now? 4? Well, that's an improvement, isn't it? Should we try again? Okay. Thank you, Father, for what you've already done. Always give thanks. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've already done. We just want to see this knee healed completely, though, Lord God. We just want to see Sam set free. We just want to know how much Sam wants to know how much you love him. I just ask you, Lord God, just Holy Spirit, just heal his knee. Knee be healed and let Sam know that you really love him. Amen. Have another go. Can you move it now?
Yeah.
A lot better. Cool. Isn't that amazing? Thank you. Well, thank you. It's lovely to meet you, Sam. Keep on walking and doing that, and really believe that you're better, because sometimes it might start aching again, but just say, no, God's healed me. All right, and thank you. Bye. Thank you, Sam. Kind of, you get the idea. Okay, so basically, pray, speak to the mountain. It's hard because sometimes you flip in back to the Holy Spirit, but ask him to come with you, because he's doing. You're not doing it. You're just the vehicle, yeah? God's just going to work through you. You might feel tingling in your hands. You might not feel anything, but God's going to do it. So don't think, oh, it's not working, because you just don't know, and you don't know what happens later on either, because sometimes we've prayed for people. And it's like, who was it we prayed for? John Wilson, I think, once. We prayed for him, and he got better. And I said, well, go and have a cup of tea, because I expect by the time you finished your tea, you've forgotten you ever had that pain. And what happened? After he'd had his cup of tea, he thought, oh, it's all gone. So sometimes God takes longer to do things. It's not always immediate. But whatever happens, they've had an encounter with God. They've been told that God loves them. They've been told that God's a healer. They've been shown interest by somebody. Yeah? And all those things count for something. Now, sometimes there's a blockage. It could be that they need to let go of something. It could be that there's some sort of issue in the heart. Perhaps there's somebody they need to forgive. Somebody's done something to them and they've upset somebody, or somebody's offended them. It could have been, I've heard stories like 20, 30, 40 years ago that people are still upset. I've got it in my own family that somebody's still upset something that happened in 1961. Anyway. Things happen. So it could be that you need to forgive yourself. Perhaps you've done something that you feel ashamed of or you wish you hadn't done. But you don't condemn yourself. Just give it up to God. God's not angry with you. He just wants what's best for you. And this is what you've got to tell people if that's, you know, somebody you meet. And they say, oh, you know, so-and-so did this. I say, well, God loves you. And the reason he loves you is because he loves you. But he wants you to not have that, because if you let go of that, then he can work a miracle and he can heal you and he can take you into your future. And that's stopping you. So sometimes you've got to let go of things and just say, I forgive that person, because there's bigger things to think about now. It could be your words. You could be talking yourself out of it. You say, yeah, I believe God. And you go, oh, God, he never looks after me. It's always somebody else. Whenever I pray for somebody, they never get healed. Why can't I get healed? Or why can't I receive this? And it's, no, we all pray for money, and money never comes to me. You know, you can talk yourself out of it. And God's going, I'm trying to do everything, but you keep telling me I'm not. You know? So it could be the words that we use, because the words that we use create worlds. And that becomes our reality. So you have to be careful of what you're saying. It's a kind of a confession. I used to think confession was just telling somebody all the wrong things you did. I did, because you go to confession in church, don't you? Thank you. And I thought, what's all this stuff? Why have you got to confess all the time? And then I realised it's actually a positive thing. And it just means what you're saying. It took me ages to work that one out. If I hadn't come here, I'd probably still be thinking it. So, you know, think about the words that you say. Anyway, in the few minutes left, I think we should... Martin. Yes. Sorry. Yeah, we would. And also another thing, if you give a testimony, if somebody gives a testimony, make sure you just say what happens. So if they had pain, you don't know, you know, necessarily the illness they've got or whatever it is, but all you can say is that they had pain, it went. So don't make something up saying, well, they had arthritis and da-da-da-da and they were completely healed, because you don't know. The only way you can do that is if they go away, they go and see a doctor and it's medically certified, and in which case let us know. And I've asked Lucille to do that with these testimonies, because she's keeping a record, and I've said, well, say what happened and was this medically certified, because it's a different kind of thing. We don't want people making things up, because that makes a nonsense of it all, doesn't it? But yeah, we will have cards, we'll have prayer requests, we'll have praise reports, and we'd like to know what happens. Did you want to say something?
Yeah, I will quickly. So you're going to lead us into a practical time now, right? Yep, so we're going to break, she'll handle it. I just want to let you know with regard to next Saturday, so we've got two or three, I'll probably do maybe a third one or a fourth one. We've got a little, what they call tract, but it's a little bit of information that we've written, about that God heals today, another one about if God is good, why do bad things happen? Some of these are up on the back resource, and another one just about that the gospel is good news, not bad news. So they're very positive and short. So when you're joining us next Saturday, you don't want to feel like, oh my God, I'm going to be expected to meet someone I've never seen before, pull treasure out of them, whatever that means, and then prophesy and hope that I got it right. Because that's pretty scary for all of us, including me, you know what I mean? It's not, it's, so we don't expect that. When some of it will be hand massage, that'll be where, and that works really well, gives you a chance to connect with people. And if you feel like something in your heart for someone, then you can go with it, but you shouldn't feel like you have to. If we'll have some cards, as Martin's brought up as well, these tracks, some cards that'll hand out just invitations to church. Some people might just want to wander around the market, handing these things out and greeting people and saying, hey, we've got a stall down there where people are praying for people. Or you can just hand them out and invite people to church and say, we've got this really fun church. And you might find that in some cases you get into a conversation with somebody and they chat a little bit. So just a few guidelines with that. It's to be bold is a great thing, but don't feel pressure to be something that you're not. Don't feel like you have to have some revelation. You know, prophecy, Carrie's talked about word of knowledge, which is a revelation of something about a person, whether it's their name or a condition they've got. But prophecy by itself is just speaking life into things. So sometimes it's enough to see. You see somebody who's struggling carrying, you help them carry their bags to the car, and you just say, you know, I feel in my heart like God wants to say to you, you're a great person and that you've got a great life and he wants to bless you. That's enough. That's prophetic. You don't have, do you know what I'm saying? So don't put awful pressure on yourself. And we will have little things, whether it's badge making, whether it's handing out cards, whether it's tracts, invitations and stuff like that, which become like a tool in your hand. So you can just, and if we've got four or five of us there every hour, because they're kind of 2 hour slots, you can stay all day. It becomes fun. You know, you go out, and failing is as much fun as succeeding. Don't forget that. You come back and you say, you know, I tried and I got it completely wrong. So even John G. Lake, right? So we're talking about him 100 years later. Those 63 people he got healed a day, they prayed for about 200 a day. So two-thirds of them weren't healed. So I'm not saying we should aim for only one-third to get healed. I'm saying the best guys in the business, the people that have been doctors and studied it for 50 years and are world-renowned surgeons that cost you 20 grand for an operation, they don't get it right every time. So please don't expect that you have to get everything right. Just love people, lift people, feel like in your heart these people matter, do your best and join us. That's kind of what I want to say.
All right, take it away.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say that. And also respect, because you're not going to pray for everybody. Not everybody will want prayer. You've got to respect that. So I'm just saying, if the situation arises, this is a good way to do it, or way that you can to do it, yeah? So you don't go out and think, well, what do I do? You know? But yeah, you've got to respect people. Number one thing, you've got to love people and you've got to respect them. So if they say no, thank you, go, fine. So if they start walking down the street, don't go chase them. Go, but I need to. I can see that you've got, a walking stick. You know, God says this, because you'll frighten them away and you'll give us a bad reputation. All right. So we've got to be respectful. You've got to be careful what you do and how we do this. Yeah. But just want to bring love, and as Paul said, you just want to bring the touch of heaven to people. So it could just be a happy word. You know. Whatever, could be something just a touch when you're hand massaging people. For those of you doing that, perhaps that person hasn't actually been touched for 6 months. Maybe they live alone, you know. And so you don't know what you're carrying. You don't know what you're going to unlock, what you're going to unleash, what you're going to impart when you do things like that. But just be aware that you're in a position, and you're a kingdom person, and you hear from God, and He's using you to bring life into somebody, and that's all you need to do. And if it's a great word, fine. If somebody gets healed, wonderful. But just be sensitive to people, yeah? And be loving. Right, okay. We haven't got much time left, but I just thought, if anybody has got any ailment, yeah, if anybody's got anything wrong with them, which for one day I hope you're all ill, so we've got people to practice on. Or just get into groups, and just if somebody's hurting or got a bad leg, or something, put your hand up, and then we'll get people to come and pray for you. It's a practice. So if you can get in groups around the lady and Christabel and Kat and pray for her. if not, if you don't want to do that, or you, so if somebody pray for, come and pray for you now, just bless each other. Just bless each other and ask God to visit that person this week and ask God to move in their life and ask God, just the Holy Spirit, just to have a fresh anointing of his power and his spirit, because he says when he comes with power, and that's what we need in our life, yeah? So however you want to do it, if you just get into small groups, either pray for the person or just pray for each other, or if you have a word of prophecy for somebody and you want to practice on Val's earrings or something, fine. It's just a tool to get a it's just a conversation starter, because God will speak to you in unusual ways. Thank you.